Brother Terry, don't y'all? Yeah. Praise God.
Yes, ma'am.
Can mama sing sheltered in the arms of God? Can you sing sheltered in the arms of God? But she said no. Oh, she thinks so. Okay. All right. Do you need an assistance? Oh, you need somebody to comfort you? Do you need somebody to sing bass with you?
No.
Praise God.
So I've had a rough day. You know, a little better than yesterday. It's a little better.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear that call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and awake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be back tonight in the service. Let me say before I read, I appreciate the invitation to come and be here in these days. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us to come. Thank you, church, for allowing us to be here. Appreciate the Lord for making it possible. I appreciate your kind hospitality, place to stay, and meals, and your prayers, and every act of kindness, every word of encouragement. Thank you. It's been my honor to be here. Of course, always my honor to stand here in this place. And I'm humble to stand where this man of God has stood here for 40 years, and that's humbling to my heart to stand in that same place, and so I count that a privilege. And I'm glad to be here tonight. Do need your prayers. The Lord had helped me tonight. Cannot do anything without the Lord's help. And I'm glad there is shelter in His arms tonight. Amen. And I'm glad in His arms under his wings, sort of the same meaning there. And that's where Ruth came to trust, was in the shadow of his wings, underneath his arms. And I'm glad that's a good place to be. That is a good place to be. Look with us, if you have your Bible tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first two verses we will look at tonight for a text, and then try to preach as the Lord would direct us tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Now, as every night, once you find your place, if you're physically able, if you're willing to do so, we invite you to stand with us, and by standing we'll reverence the reading of God's precious word. If you're able to remain standing after we read these two verses, we'll pray. And again, I'd ask you humbly and sincerely to pray for us that the Lord would help us tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible reads like this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to pray. I thank you for the word of God that you preserved to this generation and the portion you've directed my heart to. I thank you, Lord, for the liberty we've had in the days and the nights that have passed. But Lord, here we are, Lord, another congregation. And here I am, a leaky vessel. And I pray you'd fill us once again. I pray for unction and utterance tonight. I pray you'd have mercy on me and have mercy on these dear people. And Lord, empower me to preach, enable me to preach, and permit me to preach. Lord, I do not take it lightly tonight that you bless us with this opportunity. And I want to be at my best. But oh, dear Lord, at my best, it's not sufficient tonight. At my best, Lord, there'll be nothing of any eternal value accomplished. But I pray you'd touch these lips of clay. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint me afresh and anew and give me that fresh oil and preach through me tonight the message that you want this congregation to hear. Then prepare our hearts to receive that message. Give us hearing ears, receptive hearts, and obedient spirits. Waken sinners to their need of you. Stir up the hearts of the saints. May we all leave here revived, refreshed, and renewed, drawn closer to you by the means of this service. Lord, do among us now what we're not able to do for ourselves. May we glean and gather from your word that, Lord, that would benefit our lives. And, oh, Lord, may tonight the message go forth that would bring glory and honor unto your name. Help us and have mercy upon us. And, Lord, what you're pleased to do in and through and for us, we'll bow with the head and thank you. I ask what I ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Well, I call your attention tonight where the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, I want to focus in on that little phrase there, those two words, faint not. Of course, you're familiar with the idea of fainting. The scripture is full of encouragement or warning about us fainting. That is, our us, my friend, I say it this way tonight, losing heart in the work of the Lord, or in the warfare that we are involved in, or in the walk that we have. So tonight, based on that, I want to talk to you just a few moments tonight, the Lord being our helper, and look at three or four places here in the New Testament where the Bible tells us not to lose heart. Not to lose heart. Now, evidently, it is something that we all battle. It is a part of the Christian life and the Christian walk to, my friend, have the tendency or the temptation to faint or to lose heart in, my friend, what we're doing for the Lord. But the Bible tells us not to lose heart. The Bible keeps encouraging us and admonishing us and exhorting us not to lose heart. There is so much, my friend, that happens in society. There is so much that happens as we journey through this life that will dishearten us.
or make us to lose heart tonight. But let's notice, my friend, what the Bible says to us. Now, Paul said that, first of all, let's don't lose heart, or we faint not. My friend, here in these verses, because he said of the purpose of our redemption. He said God has saved us for a purpose. And he said that purpose is that he has given us this ministry. And he said because of that, we do not faint, or we do not lose heart. May I remind you tonight, God did more than just save us to keep us out of hell, though that is a fringe benefit. And I know they've sang a song, some of the meetings that I've been to the last year or two, they sang the song, "I'm Not Going to Hell." Thank God for that. That is a fringe benefit. And heaven is a fringe benefit. But can I say to you, God saved us with a purpose in mind. God saved us, my friend, because he had a plan for our life. Amen. And so therefore, we should not lose heart because there is a purpose in our redemption. I know sometimes we feel like we're just, my friend, spinning our wheels and that we're of no value and that our life absolutely means nothing. But I tell you, if God had just saved us from hell and for heaven, he'd have took us there the day he saved us. But he left us here because there is a purpose, my friend, for our redemption. God, my friend, has something in mind for us. That doesn't mean everybody has a ministry. And I use that word lightly, our ministry, my friend, because I realize that in the church in this modern age, that about everybody talks about a ministry. Amen. Everything that's done is called a ministry. Amen. Thank God. But whether or not you have a public ministry, you're a preacher, evangelist, missionary, a Sunday school teacher, or you may just be one that is faithful to pray, faithful, my friend, to provide, faithful, my friend, to fill your place at the house of God. God had a purpose for you being in the body, in the church. Hey, God, and we should not faint because of our personal, hey, God, purpose of redemption. God had us in mind. God places us in the body as he sees fit. And so don't lose heart because God has you where he has you, doing what you're doing because it's needful and necessary. Amen. Thank the Lord. And now Paul said to the church at Corinth, we faint not, or we don't lose heart, my friend. He said, because we have received mercy. Amen. I don't know about you, but where would I be if it wasn't for the Lord tonight? Amen. And what in the world do I have to go back to anyhow? Hey, God, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be in the family of God. I don't deserve, hey, God, to have to let out a holy grunt, much less a hearty amen over the house of God. I shouldn't be in the parking lot, much less sitting in the pew or singing in the choir. We've received mercy from the Lord, so why should I lose heart when he brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light, when he saved me by grace, when he took me out of the mess I was in and placed me in this good way? Don't lose heart because God just showed us mercy. None of us deserve to be here tonight. And what would we go back to? Thank God we have received mercy. So don't lose heart tonight. Yes. Amen. Now I grow tired of that crowd that they want to have to come in and give their testimony. Amen. Oh yeah. I don't guess they do that up here around Tennessee, but around home, amen, they've always got some, somebody that has been involved in some kind of professional sports or something or another to come in and give their testimony. Amen. Oh my. And they'll always put it out on the billboard, and it's a professional golfer or professional wrestler. Anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. Or, thank God, a professional bass fisherman. I think I seen that one other day as I went through town. Amen. Over at the church, somebody, you know. Thank God. Oh my. I don't understand it. Amen. And of course, 9 out of 10 of them, when they give their testimony, it's almost they're sorry that God saved them, because they're headed to stardom, or they're well on their way, had a great popularity, done had it, and they had to give all that up to get Jesus, and now they're just a lowly, thank God, a servant of the church, and they're almost talk like they wish they could go back to the other life. Hey, hallelujah. I want to tell you, I ain't got nothing to go back to tonight, and why should I lose heart? Hey, well, bless his name. He's my everything. Hallelujah. He's all I've got and all I need. And Paul said, all them things that I were was before I met Christ, all those accomplishments, all of that I thought was important, he said, I've just cast it on the dung heap and counted it as nothing that I can win Christ. And he said, why should I lose heart when I've received mercy? Hallelujah. I don't have justice tonight, and I don't want justice. Hey God, I got mercy the day I got saved, and I'm still asking God to have mercy on me tonight. Woo! Amen. We've received mercy. Amen. And he said, thank God, that makes us faint not or lose heart, because we realize that we have received mercy when God has put us in this ministry. Not only that, he said, but we faint not, or we don't lose heart, not only because we've received mercy, but he said, because we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Amen. He said, we're not losing heart because we ain't hiding nothing. Amen. We're not walking in craftiness. We're not handling the word of God deceitfully. Hey God, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. So he said, what in the world have we got to lose heart over? Why should we faint? Hey, we've come to the light that our deeds might be reproved. We're walking in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. So why in the world, hey God, would we want to faint, fall out, or lose heart because we've renounced, hey God, the hidden things of dishonesty? And it's good to have a clear conscience, and it's good to have peace with God. I'm sorry, hallelujah. Hey, I'm a little excited tonight. Hey, bless his name. Hey God, why would I want to lose heart? Hey God, and carry a heavy burden and a guilty conscience and hide here and there. I try. Hey God, to my friend cover my sin or my mistake. But he said, thank God, we've renounced all of that. Amen. Am I listening to the preacher tonight? Amen. So, amen. We don't lose heart because of the purpose of our redemption. We've received mercy. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Amen. Y'all got a minute? Y'all got a couple of minutes? Won't take me but a couple.
Hallelujah. I want to get to verse 15. But to get to verse 15, you got to understand what he's saying in them other verses from 3 through 14. Y'all got time for me to read them? But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Don't that sound good? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. He put that treasure in earthen vessels. Not that we could be bragged on, but he knew what earthen vessels we were. But he put that treasure in that earthen vessel so the excellency could be of him and not of us. Oh, hallelujah. You and I are nothing tonight and nobodies, but he's everybody and he's everything tonight. And I am what I am and you am what you am. You are what you are tonight by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Oh, now notice, here's what I want to get to. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. Amen. Notice verse 15. Here's the next reason why we don't lose heart, how we faint not. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. He said we don't quit, we don't faint, and we don't lose heart. Though we're perplexed, though we're persecuted, though we're cast down, though we're always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the reason we don't faint, he said, because there's abundant grace. There's grace to make it through all of those situations, all of those trials. And he said when folks see that grace, that abundant grace working in our lives, he said, then they give thanks unto God. And he said that redounds to the glory of God. So he said when we're suffering, when we're going through the fire, he said, we don't quit, we don't faint, we don't lose heart, because it's redounding to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Not redounding to our glory, but it's redounding to his glory. Amen. So the purpose, we don't lose heart in the purpose of our redemption, because we receive mercy, because we've renounced the hidden thing, amen, of dishonesty, and because, amen, what we go through is redounding to the glory of God. Amen. And then in this, also in this text, amen, verse 16 says, for this cause we faint not. Why don't you lose heart? Why don't you faint? Amen. For he said, though the outward man, amen, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Oh my. Bless the Lord. Amen. You're right, Pastor Wells. Thank God. Amen. We're all getting older and things are a lot slower. Thank God. And the outward man is perishing, but there's something else taking place. Hey, God, in the inward man, hey, God, hey, I'm getting older and you're getting older. We're all getting older, but the inward man's being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me? He's getting younger. Y'all hearing me? And we don't lose heart. Hey, for the outward man's perishing. And we're bearing the marks of his death in our body. But the life is being manifest in that same body. Hey, God. And there's thanksgiving when others see what God is doing. When they witness the abundant grace that helps us get through these trials. Hallelujah. And so we don't lose heart because we know, hey God, though the outward man's headed back to the cemetery, the inward man's getting renewed up day by day, and he's getting closer to his heavenly home. Hey, hallelujah. And our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What he said, we don't look to things that are seen, we keep looking to things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. And if someone has said it's looking bad, and somebody else said it's according to which way you're looking. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think I heard it right on Newsday. Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. Struck her down today. Struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. Amen. And Proposition 8 in California. That's the will of the people. And they struck her down. Amen. Are you hearing me? Boy, that makes you sad. Makes me weep for my children and grandchildren. But yet it makes me look up tonight and know that my redemption draweth nigh. That know these end time sins, these reprobate sins of sodomy and lesbianism are sure bringing in the judgment of God. And if it's bringing in the judgment, it's also bringing deliverance to the people of God. Well, hallelujah. Because he's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going down with that crowd. I'm going up with him. Hallelujah. Don't need me to lose heart tonight. No need of you and I to faint tonight. Don't lose heart because of the purpose of your redemption. Don't lose heart, Galatians, if I might look there, you can quote that verse, Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So let's don't lose heart, amen, when it comes to our reaping, amen, because there's a promise. Not just a promise, but a positive promise, amen. We shall reap in due season. If we don't lose heart, if we faint not, amen, bless the Lord, amen. Looks like the wild oats come up a lot sooner. Look like the seed sown to corruption into the flesh come up a lot sooner, amen. Oh, but that sowing to the Spirit seems like it takes a while to reap. And so you get weary in well-doing. You think it ain't doing no good. Would y'all pardon me? I don't know. I guess this may not be even going along with the text. I don't know. Amen. But it's on my heart tonight. Would you think about Joseph? Amen. He's just sowing good seeds. Amen. Is he not? That's all he's sowing, good seed. Telling his brethren about his dream. Wants to share his dream. Amen. Oh, gets down to Potiphar's house. Sowing good seed. That's all he's doing. By refusing Potiphar's wife's advances. He's sowing good seed. He's doing what's right. He said, I'm not going to sin against my God. And I'm not going to sin against my father and my brethren. Though I may never see none of them again. And they're hundreds of miles away from me. I'm not going to sin against them and against your husband. By by accepting your advances, I'm going to sow good seed. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. And what did it get him for sowing good seed from his brethren? Thank God they sold him into slavery and Potiphar's wife lied on him. He sowed good seed. Thank God in interpreting the dream of the chief butler and the chief baker, and the baker died and the butler got restored to his butlership, and Joseph begged him to remember him. But 2 years went by and he didn't think one thing about that Hebrew down in the prison house that interpreted his dream and comforted his heart. Are y'all hearing me? But he was sowing good seed, and it looked like he ought to just give up because he sowed good seed, did what was right. Hey, God, and just was clamped in irons. Hey, God, shackled by chains in the prison house, forgot about, lied on, sold, betrayed by his brethren. Oh, but there come a day, there come a reaping day. One day, thank God, the messenger came into the prison house with a change of garments and a good razor and said, shave and change your clothes. The king wants to see you. And when he stood before the king, and the night before the night fell, he was prime minister of Egypt. You will reap in due season. If you faint not, don't lose heart in doing what's right. In due season, they'll be reaping. I just don't know when due season is. It sure ain't my season. God has that in mind. God has the due season. I do know the husbandman, amen, plants the vineyard and then he has long patience for the fruit. I wish he just said he had patience, but he said he has long patience. I have problem enough with patience, amen, and I sure do have trouble with long patience. Is that just an Alabama trait, or do you folks in Tennessee have that problem? Hallelujah. You see, sometimes it looks like when you do good, evil, hey, God is what gets the day, takes the day, but God said in due season, you will reap, hallelujah, when you don't lose heart, hallelujah. Oh my, does anybody know what I'm trying to preach on tonight? Faint not or don't lose heart, that's what I'm trying to preach on. Then thirdly, I want to say tonight, not only do we need to not lose heart because of the purpose of our redemption, not only do we not need to lose heart because of the promise in our reaping, concerning our reaping, but then we don't need to lose heart or to faint when we're partakers of his rebuke. Hebrews chapter 12, I know the preacher preached on this through this chapter, so I'm sure won't touch anything that he hadn't touched. Amen, won't get nowhere near it, but notice what the Lord said. Amen. In Hebrews 12 and verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Does anybody here have a problem of forgetting? Now, I know this. The Bible said about the children of Israel, thank God, when they murmured against Moses, they said, we remember, thank God, the flesh pots. We remember the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the garlic and the leeks that we ate freely of in Egypt. Amen. The problem with the children of Israel was they remembered what they ought to forgot, and they forgot what they ought to remember. And that's mine and your trouble tonight. They remembered the fish, thank God, the flesh pots, but they forgot the bondage. They forgot the brickyards. Amen. Hey, they forgot the taskmasters. Anybody hearing me tonight? Oh, and how easy it is for us how to remember what we ought to forget and forget what we ought to remember. And Paul said to the Hebrew believers, he said, you have forgotten how the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. What is that exhortation? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't lose heart when he rebukes you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. He said, as a matter of fact, it ought to give you some heart when God rebukes you. He said, because if God rebukes you, thank God, if God chastises you, if God ties you to the whipping post and lays the lash to you, thank God, that is a sure sign, that is an evident token that you're one of his sons, that you're one of his children. Thank God, for he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hey, and if you be without chastisement, you're a bastard and not a son.
Hallelujah. Oh my. Oh, thank the Lord. Why does he let us partake of his rebuke? Why does he scourge us? Why does he chasten us? Why are we rebuked of him, and why should we not lose heart? Well, first of all, thank God he does it. Amen. In verse number 10, for our profit. Amen. He's not doing it, thank God, to vent his wrath. Oh, he said, our fathers after the flesh sometimes chasing us. They do it to vent their anger. They do it because they get mad at us. But he said, God never does it because he's angry with us. God never, my friend, chastens us, scourges us. My friend rebukes us just to vent his anger. But he always does it for our profit. Hey, hallelujah. Always doing it for our good, not his. Amen. Bless the Lord. Oh, we should not, thank God, faint or lose heart when we're rebuked of him, for it's for our profit. Not only is it for our profit, but verse 10 says he does it, thank God, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Oh, he does it not after his own pleasure, like our fathers in the flesh. Thank God, but he does it so we can profit by it, so we can grow by it, so we can be more like Christ, so we can be conformed unto the image of his son. And he said we're partakers of his rebuke, so we can be partakers of his holiness. And he's not near as interested in our happiness as he is our holiness. Amen. But he is interested in our holiness. Oh, and God help us. Thank God to be partakers of his holiness. Anybody with a preacher tonight? Amen. And so don't lose heart or don't faint when you're rebuked of him. Thank God, because it's for your profit. It's so that you can be partakers of his holiness. And then can I say verse 11? Thank God, it may not seem joyous. Thank God, it doesn't seem how to be happy when you're going through the scourging or the chastisement or the rebuke of the Lord. But he said afterward, although it's not joyous for the moment, but grievous, he said, after it's through, after it's done its work, after you've yielded and submitted, after you've not lost heart, after you've said, all right, Lord, I deserve it. Thank God, he said, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Not only does it make you be partakers of his holiness, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't guess y'all have it up here in Tennessee, North Alabama, where I preach, North Georgia, where I preach a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time. Where I preach, if you preach like this, when you talk about holiness and righteousness, then they say you're a legalist. That's what their definition is. And they don't know what they're talking about. They don't have a clue. Anybody hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm not talking about the way you part your hair. Amen. Or whether you wear short sleeves or long sleeves. I'm talking about a manner of life. A walk with God. Amen. Are y'all hearing me? I'm talking about something inward and not so much outward. Amen. Though if it's inward, it will come out.
Hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So don't faint or don't lose heart when you're rebuked of him. Amen. And lastly, and I'll let you go tonight and I'll be through. Amen. We want to lose heart because of the purpose of our redemption. We don't lose heart because of the promise there is in our reaping. We don't want to lose heart when we're partakers of his rebuke. And then we don't want to lose heart, or we don't want to faint when it comes to praying until his return. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how all this is evidently working together, but it evidently worked together because the first song was, I believe God answers prayer. And then the pastor said, do you remember what the first song was? And I'm asking you, do you remember what the pastor said? Amen. Hallelujah. And then here I am. And we started the service, and now we're going to end the service. And we're talking about praying. In Luke 18, Jesus gives the parable and says, man ought to always pray. And what? Not to faint. Don't lose heart. And here's the example he gives in the parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Amen. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We ought to not faint tonight or lose heart when it comes to our praying. Amen. Thank God, here's an unjust judge, and here's the widow, and he simply avenged her because her continual coming troubled him. And he said, how much more shall not God avenge his own elect? Oh, though he bear long with them, and though they cry day and night, and he bears long with them, he will avenge them speedily. It don't seem speedily on our time schedule, but it is speedily on his time schedule. Amen. Bless the Lord. And we should not lose heart. Thank God, because he will avenge us speedily. Don't quit praying tonight. Don't give up on your prayers. I'm right back where I was last night. Thank God, don't quit praying. Thank the Lord. And by the way, he ends it up, verse 8, like this. Nevertheless, shall, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith is he looking for? Is that just an abstract question he asked? No, it's tied into the parable. Hallelujah. When Christ comes, will he find somebody still praying, thank God, and not losing heart, and knowing that God will avenge his elect speedily? Whoa. Will he find somebody praying? Will he find somebody getting hold of the horns of the altar when he gets here and saying, I ain't going to quit and I ain't going to give up? Will he find that kind of faith? Hey, God, that says God said he'd answer prayer. I know he heard my prayer. Yes. Hey, will he find that kind of faith when he comes? Will he find that faith? Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Pray on, pray on, pray on, pray on. Hallelujah. Amen. Song says, when you don't feel like praying, pray. When it seems you can't get through, pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Will he find faith on the earth? Will the Son of Man find faith? Will he find the faith of those, hey God, that still believe? Hey God, that it means something? How to touch heaven? How to call on the Lord? Hey. Oh. There's enough to disappoint you in your praying. There's enough to discourage you in your praying. Isn't there? Sure there is. Sure there is. I think
If I ain't mistaken, I might have said some of these same words when I was here last year on the last night. I'm going to say them again. 15 years, from the time she was 18, got saved, my mother prayed for her parents to be saved. Her parents didn't go to church. Amen. Her parents did not go to church. Her uncle, her brother's youngest, her daddy's youngest brother had got saved and called to preach, and he took her to an August revival meeting, him and his wife, and she got saved in that August revival meeting. And she started praying for them, married my dad, and she prayed for them all their married life, and they wasn't saved. And I grew up in church with my parents. I never seen my grandparents in church. And age 13, God saved me, called me to preach, and went out and said, would y'all come hear me preach? They put up excuses and said, we'll never make it on time. I said, if you run a little late, don't matter, just come on. They didn't make it on time. Started at 6 o'clock on that Sunday night, that March Sunday night. They didn't get there on time. 15 minutes later, they showed up, but they never was late again, and I never had to ask them again. Amen. They just started coming. They'd call and say, where are you going to be tonight? And it didn't matter if it's Monday night or Saturday night or any night in between, or Sunday night or Sunday morning. Amen. It didn't matter if it's 5 o'clock in the morning or, amen, at 10 o'clock at night, they just come. Got to come, and hallelujah. And both of them got saved by the grace of God. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Grandpa got saved. He's in church service. And we was having prayer meeting service, and we'd sung, and two or three testified, and he stood up and he said, Pastor, I'm a sinner man, and I don't interfere what y'all doing. But he said, I'm lost and I need to get saved. Would y'all come to the altar and pray with me? And got saved. Hallelujah. And both of them in glory tonight. Are y'all hearing me? I'm talking about praying. Hallelujah. Went to that first little church I pastored. I was just 19 years old. Pastored a little church in that dear widow woman. I said, pray for Odie. Pray for Odie. Pray for Odie. Every time we'd have anything at the church, and anytime you give anybody a chance to say something, y'all remember Odie. Odie was her married son. Thank God. Playing in the honky-tonks. Thank God. And everybody done give up on Odie. Nobody believed Odie could be saved. Odie done gone too far. Leave her up. But she always said, pray for Odie. I pastored that church 1 year. Thank God. And I went on and come back and run revivals. And I went back, I don't know, 5-6 years later. Thank God. And guess who's sitting on the piano? Thank God, playing the piano and out of the bars and out of the honky-tonks and saved and still testifying and in church tonight. Odie! Hallelujah. Everybody give up, but you kept on praying. Anybody hearing me? Well, bless his name. Hallelujah. Woo! I'll say this. I don't know if I told you about this, but it's come to my heart. Let me tell you, I think I'll quit right here if I can. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about, will he find faith? I'm telling you, don't be weary. Don't lose heart in your praying. Though he bear long with you, he will avenge speedily. Come across a fella, he's 87 years old this year. And he was one of 13 children. Raised around Leoma, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, that particular area of the world. And he had got grown and was still going to church with his mother. She's a praying woman. And she was the kind of woman that should even stand right up in church and ask prayer for her children, you know, and then be right there in the audience. They're lost. I want you to pray. And she'd call her name. So he got grown, and he's still living at home, and they went to church, and she got up at particular service and called his name out. So I want you to pray for him. And boy, it made him mad. And so he, when the service was over with and they started back home, he said, Mama, just leave my name out of it. Leave my name out of it. And he said, and furthermore, I'll never darken the church doors again. I'm through. I'll never be back in that church no more. And so he was drafted in the army, served in World War II, was put in the German. He got captured by the Germans, spent time in the POW, as a POW in the German camp. And the Lord brought him through because of the prayers of his mama, no doubt. Come back, got married, and still didn't want his name mentioned about being saved, did not darken the doors of the church. Got a job in a casket factory, and they's having a revival meeting at that same church where his mama attended his day and night service.
And he said, I was working in that casket factory. And he said, I'd clocked in, and he said, about mid-morning, he said, something come over me. And he said, I got in such a shape. And he said, every room I'd go in, I could see myself laid in one of them caskets. Yeah. And he said, I got in a terrible shape. And he said, I got my time card. And he said, I didn't even say nothing to the boss. Didn't even ask him, could I check out? He said, I punched the time clock, walked down to the house. And my wife was shocked to see me come in that mid-morning. She said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm coming home to change clothes. I'm going to church. She said, looks like to me, she wasn't saved. She said, looks like to me you ought to be back up there making us some money. What you ought to be instead of going to church. He said, I'm going to church and I'm changing my clothes. And he went on in there and changed his clothes and wound up over at that church where he said, I'll never darken them church. Yeah. Now this is years later. Are y'all listening to me? And he said, when I went into the church, he said, my mama was sitting on the altar bench. And he said, when I went in, I thought she was going to shout the house down. He said, she got to shouting all over that house. And he said, I just went on in and sat down. And he said, the preacher preached. And he said, and when the invitation was given, he said, I went to that altar. And he said, God save me. And he said, mama did shout to him. He said, I mean, and she had a lots of help. And he said, it went on for a while. And he said, things finally got settled down. And he said, that pastor looked at me and said, son, did you know this morning your mama's been on that altar for 3 hours praying for you to come to the meeting and to be saved? And he said, for the last hour, them two sisters, them other two ladies have been on the altar crying weather. No wonder they shouted when he come in. And it wasn't just 3 hours or 1 hour. She had been praying for years. But prayer does work. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, he may, hey, God bear long with us, but oh, he will avenge us speedily. Thank God, amen. And will he find faith? Hey, God, will a son of man find faith on the earth? Will he find you and I still laying hold of the heart of the altar and saying, God, help us, Lord. Oh, don't become weary. Don't become faint. Don't lose heart. Because there is a promise concerning our prayers. Amen. Regarding his return. Everybody stand with me tonight. If you need to use your altar, I encourage you to do so. Positive promise there is when it comes to reaping. Don't lose heart when you're partakers of his rebuke. Don't lose heart when it comes to praying in regard to his return. Will he find faith? Will he find somebody saying, hey God, I'm going to hold on to the horn of the altar until God moves. Your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Prayer work. Will he find faith? Will the Son of Man find faith on earth? You obey the Lord now.